jobs and economy in the state of Tennessee. As I continue to listen to people in the district, jobs and economy are the most important issue facing Middle Tennessee. I will continue to work with Governor Haslam to improve the state's economy and job creation. Appreciate your vote for Mike Sparks, state representative. Paid for by Mike Sparks, Preston Sparks Treasurer.
Rutherford County is full of older adults dealing with the challenges of aging.
Truman Jones for At Home Care.
According to the National Family Caregivers Association, Tennessee has nearly 600,000 adult sons and daughters struggling to provide family caregiving to their aging parents.
At Home Care.
They're hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide their clients what they want most, to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly do care. They provide top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee.
At Home Care.
Give them a call, 713-4639, and their place of business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, right here in Murfreesboro.
That's At Home Care.
This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. A little cool out this morning, but it's absolutely gorgeous. I have one of my favorite people that I've known just about my whole life. I have Mr. Dickie Palmer on today, and one of our sports legends that's been involved in sports in Rutherford County, I guess, ever since he's been able to breathe, I guess. In fact, I think every time he breathes in something that is related to sports. Good morning, Dickie. How are you this
morning? Well, I'm fine, Truman. You know, it's... You've got to kind of watch yourself when you're talking to people you've known all your life. You might let something slip that shouldn't be said.
Let me tell you something. I have got my closet so nailed tight, I don't think anything can slip out after all these years. But you know, when I think of you, I think of Mr. Jolly and Norris Lover and you know, Gilbert Sharon and all those people in the past that have meant so much to this community. And you've just continued on with it. I mean, you've had your career and in a number of different areas, but sports has always been number one on your mind, especially dealing with the young people in the community. And, you know, that really, it must make you feel good about all the people that you've influenced all your life.
I think about all of the kids that I've coached in baseball over the years, and what's really meaningful is when you see a kid that, and a lot of them will come up to me and say, you were my baseball coach in so and so, and you know, and I haven't seen them since they were 12 years old, and I just draw a blank, and I say, you're gonna have to tell me who you are. Mm-hmm. I ran into a kid not 2 weeks ago that I hadn't seen since he was 12 years old. He's probably 25 to 30 now. Wow. Married, got a job, and you know, it makes you feel good when, particularly when they call you coach.
Yeah, that's an endearing term, isn't it,
coach? It is.
I remember any time that I talk to Mr. Jolly or some of the old-time coaches that go back when you and I were kids, they start talking about your parents. They talk about your mom, your dad, and all that.
Right.
You know, that's something special that there's that much influence in the field of coaching, how it actually directly affects the character of each individual child.
Yeah, and there's a lot of responsibility when you do that to maintain credibility and good character and that sort of thing, because you don't want the influence that you have on kids tarnished in any way. And you know, I always am saddened when that happens, particularly to a coach either in the public eye or just a youth coach like I was. It's sad.
You used to never hear of those things.
No.
Back in the 40s.
I don't know if they might probably happen then, and they just weren't publicized like they are now. You know, now if you throw a cigarette butt on the street, it's going to get in the paper and on CNN.
Yes. Well, you know, one thing that I've always been, and I know you have too, a fan of structure in a person's life. And, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s and 40s, they had the draft, the military draft. And
correct.
People would go in, young men would go in for 2 years and serve their country, which I thought was a great idea, even though I was one of the recipients of the draft. But I saw what structure it put in my life and other people's. And for some reason, they took it back out because they wanted a strictly a professional military volunteer army. But, it really did serve a purpose even beyond the military. And I look upon coaches as taking part of that and helping structure individuals. I had Raymond Berry on yesterday,
right.
who
right.
is one of the greatest football players in the history of the
right.
game. I mean, he was even elected as the top receiver, you know, during his particular
and
time.
And a good coach, too.
Yes, a good coach. But one of the things that we were talking about yesterday was structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the one key ingredient that's missing from successful teams and successful people. And that's one thing that I really always push your kids and your grandkids to make sure that they get a good coach so they can receive that structure and discipline that they don't get normally outside of their own home.
Yeah, I'm reading a biography of President Truman written by his daughter, Margaret, mm-hmm. who's an accomplished author. But this was
and pianist.
Yeah, but President Truman was a very structured person. He didn't want the job, mm-hmm. and he didn't want to be nominated or elected vice president when Franklin D. Roosevelt ran for his fourth term, because mm-hmm. he, in the back of his mind, most people knew that President Roosevelt was not going to outlive mm-hmm. that fourth term, and Truman did everything he could to not be. He wanted to stay in the Senate, where he felt he could do a better job serving the people, but he was finally railroaded into running for vice president, and of course they were elected. And when he became president, he had so much to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
He had the war, which
right.
was not over yet. He had the decision on the atomic bomb. He had the United Nations. He had the Free State of Israel, which had not been formed yet.
Mm-hmm.
He had all of these things on his tablet, and he had to be structured in order to take care of all that.
Don't forget MacArthur.
And he was not a person to mince words. In fact, he was probably one of the greatest presidents, given the time and the era that he served, who's ever held that job. And I'm just amazed by what he could accomplish. And he just had a 24-hour day like the rest of us, but worked 18 of them.
Well, yeah, but, you know, do you remember at the end when he was leaving office, that I think it was the last day, he still, he had a love, or he had grown into that responsibility, and they asked him how he felt as he was leaving. He says, if somebody comes up to me to rob me today, I'll take that gun away from them, put it down their throat, pull the trigger. You know, I mean, was that classic or not?
I got to see him in person during President Kennedy's campaign. He spoke on behalf of Kennedy over in Tiptonville, Tennessee, in West Tennessee. And it was a rousing crowd of West Tennessee farmers. And he was right in his element there. In fact, I recorded that speech, and I don't know if I've still got it on tape or not. I've got a bunch of tapes at home I need to listen to, but that was just a wonderful opportunity. And I didn't realize it at the time, you know, that I was, you know, seeing history being made.
You think of all the great leaders, and most of them were top-of-the-line orators. They really were. and to listen to them, the things that have driven them and have meant so much into their life. And as you listen to them relate it to those that are lucky enough to be listening, it changes your life in a lot of ways. It makes you want to be more like what they say that they have done and are doing, and what can make you successful in your life. It's just something special, just a one-on-one, just to listen to it like
that. I love to listen to people who are good speakers, who have a message, you know, and it affects everyone individually. You know, mm-hmm. It may means one thing to me and something else to you, but it will affect people.
It affects your way to relate to people like you do over the mic when you're relating games like baseball, basketball, football, all the things that you've done over your life. They're actually getting your perspective and how it actually means to you, because you can tell when an announcer really cares about what he's doing. You and I have heard some of the best and probably some of the worst announcers over the years, and you can listen to some of them, and it's almost like it's drudgery. They just can't wait till the last pitch is thrown or the last basket is made or whatever. But there's others.
We have games like that.
No. I've never heard you relate it back that way. We may have had some games.
I try to hide that, but we have games like that. But, no, the most important thing in to me in broadcasting a game is the score. Mm-hmm. Let people know what the score is, who's winning, and how much time's left in the game. And then anything else, you know, is secondary. Mm-hmm. So I've always tried to do that.
You have more responsibility as a radio announcer, because if they're watching on television, they're seeing the score and all the other things all the time.
Yeah, that's all.
But you,
that's
you have to continually keep them updated.
I think, you know, you have to kind of paint a word picture of, mm-hmm. of what's going on, set the scene, so to speak. I thought Larry Munson was a genius in doing that.
Not for the Nashville Balls, he was.
He was, yeah. He was the guy that I kind of thought I would like to be like, you know, when I was a youngster listening to the radio. And then after I got in the business and got to meet him and got to know him a little bit, just a wonderful person. And the last time I saw him was when we played football at Georgia. He was still broadcasting the Georgia games, and went over to say hello to him and told him who I was and where I was from. And he remembered me. And you know what he wanted to talk about?
Don't tell me the Nashville Vols.
The Nashville Vols. He wanted to talk about the Nashville Vols and fishing on Center Hill.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was his top thing. Of course, he had a fishing show here.
Yeah, right? He did.
And, of course, most people, when they think of the Nashville Vols, they think of Larry Munson. They think of that last line that he had.
Well, kind of messed, you know.
But in today's society, it wouldn't have meant anything. I mean, it would just been passed over, and that would have been it.
Yeah, and another guy that I admired so much was John Ward, who gave me an opportunity to work on the Ball Network up there after I'd moved back here, and I was kind of just floating around before I started doing MTSU broadcasting. And when Coach Majors was hired to come back and coach Tennessee, John Ward called me and asked me to come up and talk with them about being a part of the network. And what they wanted to do was expand their network coverage both before the game and after the game. And they did that, and I worked with John for 5 years there. And what a truly professional guy, and a guy that was really more critical of his own work than he was of anybody else's. He would actually write about a 2-page critique of every broadcast.
You're kidding.
And would send it out to everybody involved in the network. And it would always, he would refer to himself as the announcer. The announcer should have done this. Mm-hmm. The announcer made a terrible call on this. or the announcer did a pretty good job on this, and then he would critique the rest of us, and so I thought that was, you know, so professional for him to do that.
He was kind of like the Rembrandt of radio announcers for sports. He really was.
Yeah.
He painted a picture with everything he did, but you say that he critiqued yours. How did you do with his critique on
Well, you know, as long as I didn't make a mistake, I was okay.
I bet he caught everything.
He caught everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like a coach, you know, and so many people have tried to imitate John Ward, and so many people have tried to imitate Larry Munson. And they say that's the truest form of flattery, but still, I think people that try to do that don't have much confidence in their own ability or style, because everybody has to develop his own personality and his own way of relating what's going on to the fans. So when John Ward said, "Bottom," then all the high school announcers around the state started saying, "Bottom." And, you know, I broadcast pro basketball for 5 years. And I used that term one time, and it just came out. I didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking about John Ward. And then after I said it, I said, why did I say that? But it just sounded good at the time. But I don't think I've used that term, because that's not my term. That's John's. You know, he ought to have a copyright on that. And
well, how many ways can you say that the ball goes through the basket? I mean, you got the string music, and you got the bottom, and swish, and all that other stuff. What else can you add?
Ray Duffy's favorite term was swish.
Yeah, right.
And I used to love to hear Ray say swish.
It makes it more exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything that you can add, because you are you're painting the entire picture for the listener, and you want to make it enjoyable for them to hear, and you want them to get excited about it.
You want them to feel, if you're excited, you want them to feel excited.
Yeah.
And if you're not excited, they can tell. And if, you know, if I'm doing a game and we're getting ourselves beat by 25 or 30 points and it's getting late in the game, you don't have to really listen for the score. You know that things aren't going well. And I've heard people tell me that. They say, oh, I could tell by the tone of your voice that we weren't winning.
But you know,
you're not. It's hard to get people fired up when you're 30 points behind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of false.
Yeah, everybody's already gone to the refrigerator.
It's kind of false advertising.
But, you know, there's something about an announcer that makes the team everything better to visualize in their own minds. And I still believe that John Ward had an awful lot to do with the popularity of all Tennessee sports.
No doubt about it.
I think that he drew such a large audience simply the way he was able to portray it. It's amazing. And you and I grew up listening to baseball players over the years, like the Yankees and the Cardinals and the Cubs and all of them. And we would relate those type of teams and sports with the announcer themselves. It's something like sometimes they became larger than life simply because they were the person that put that image out to
you. That's right. They were all you had. You didn't have TV much back then, or if you had TV, you didn't have TV with the team announcers. Mm-hmm. You just had a network version of it. So
I had rather listen to the announcers at the Atlanta Braves than watch your games.
Oh, I had too, and I will. At times, I'll kill the sound, and then I know what's happening before it happens, because the radio is about 5 seconds mm-hmm. ahead of the TV. So, I'll do that a lot. Those those guys with the Braves doing an excellent job. And I miss Skip Carey. Skip Carey was just one of a kind. And
sometimes he would get almost too blasé or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was exactly about him. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dickie Palmer.
It could be any moment the deer of a lifetime walks by, and you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
All right, now you hit that one, my boy.
We got camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street, just down from the old International Paper location.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Jim Williams. A significant winter storm is continuing in northeast Tennessee and the Smokies. Remnants of Superstorm Sandy bringing strong winds and snow into the Volunteer State. The prediction from forecasters is for continuing snow showers in higher elevations through tomorrow, and there could be as much snow as 6 inches to 2 feet, mostly above the 2,500-foot elevation, but some valley locations could also get light snowfall, accumulations of an inch or less in most of those places. We're only a week away from Election Day, and lots of Tennesseans have voted early.
Nearly a million Tennesseans have cast ballots so far during early voting. State election officials said yesterday the tally of votes cast through Saturday for the November 6th general election topped 999,000.
TRN's Dan Item. The number of folks killed on Tennessee roads this year has already surpassed last year, more than 2 months left to go in 2012. At the current pace, the state will record almost 1,000 deaths by New Year's. And former MTSU student Sharon Terica Madden, convicted of killing her roommate, has been denied a new trial. Attorneys filed that motion claiming Madden didn't get a fair proceeding the first time around.
Wouldn't it be great if we were warned of life's risks?
It's a great day for fishing.
Yeah, but keep heading in that direction and you're going to sink your boat.
If you have diabetes, an A1C test does just that. Warns if you should adjust your diabetes control to prevent organ damage. Find out more about the A1C test and the role it plays in reducing diabetes complications. Contact your local healthcare provider today and ask about the A1C test. Funded through an agreement with the state of Tennessee.
This is the Tennessee Radio Network.
Michael Salvaster Turner and John Timothy Pittman Jr. were indicted on charges that they stole mail in Mississippi and Alabama in 2009, cashed the checks at banks in Mississippi and Tennessee.
They'll ask the court to overturn a Thursday decision that upholds the new photo ID requirement for voting, but also said a public library card qualifies as a government-issued photo ID.
When you need to know, depend on TRN, the Tennessee Radio Network.
The transit system is coming back to life in the nation's capital. The D.C. Metro will start limited service this afternoon. No word on when subways will start running again in New York City. Could be down for days. The power has to come back first in Lower Manhattan. That's where we find ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Like any city after a hurricane, New York feels wounded, and daylight illuminates the extent of some of the damage. I'm here at Fulton Street along the historic South Street Seaport District, and it was entirely inundated by water from the East River. Some of that water is still standing, pooling along the sidewalk, and many of the businesses got flooded out. There's debris littering the streets. People are having a look, but it's still not entirely safe to be out here.
In Chicago, the remnants of Hurricane Sandy are kicking up 20-foot waves on Lake Michigan. Some joggers are there.
We don't normally run on Tuesday, but we want to see the waves out here.
We're not going to go crazy. We're not going to go way close and all of that.
Police are warning people to stay away. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
WeatherEye.
We have a wind advisory in effect across the forecast area. Partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-50s. Breezy west-northwest winds gusting in the mid-30s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Feluber.
Right now, 45.
That update brought to you by New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix with 14 vitamins, minerals, and herbs, including vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, and echinacea. New Airborne Hot Soothing Mix, real immune support.
Are you driving around in a state of doubt, wondering how your car insurance will really take care of you? I'm State Farm Agent Monty King. Let me get you to a better state, a state of confidence that the coverage you're driving around with is actually driven by your wants and your needs. That's why 97% of the people who've had claims with State Farm would recommend us, without a doubt. Give me a call at 220-2210. You'll see how easy and affordable it can be.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Monty King in Smyrna. Give me a call at 220-2210.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
We're going to get him on. And welcome back with Mr. Dick Palmer. And I want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by Caldwell Banker Barnes Auctioneers. And that's Ralph McKee and J.D. Kite. And they invite you to this Saturday's auction in Christiana for Ben and Ruth Hilliard. It's located at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana at 10 a.m. And that's coming up this Saturday. Two homes, a 36 by 64 metal shop, over 20-acre farm equipment, and shop tools will be sold as the Hilliards downsize. This is an auction you don't want to miss. The auction begins at 10 a.m., farm equipment sale at 11:30, and the land sales at noon this Saturday at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. And for more information, visit caldwellbankerauctions.com or call 893-1130. That's 893-1130. That's caldwellbankerauctions.com, 893-1130. Oh, that's going to be a great sale. I've been out there. That's a beautiful, beautiful piece of land out there, Dickie.
Sounds like a good opportunity.
Oh, I love getting out. You love going out like me. You go out in the country and you fish and you do the rivers and all that. That's almost heaven, isn't it?
Well, I like being out there by myself. My wife doesn't particularly like for me to be out there by myself, but I like it because you can kind of shut everything else out and mm-hmm. just think your thoughts and talk to the fish if you want to. Come on.
Practice your announcing.
Well, now don't do that. Practice my casting.
Well, we have got basketball coming up.
I'm telling you, it's here.
And, I'm really in the mood for basketball right now. I mean, baseball's over with. We still have the football games on Saturday. But I have got just an urge to watch the girls play basketball. I think you get caught up in it, and it's something that you just really love doing. And I've got so many friends that go to the games, and we end up talking more girls basketball than we do anything.
I was out there yesterday watching the girls practice and stayed to watch the men practice a little bit afterwards, and I just thought to myself, with they've got the lower tier seats down now, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, this just looks like basketball season now, because all the seats are beautiful blue and everything's down except the seats on the one end under the goal, and they'll be down by Thursday night. And that's when the Lady Raiders tip it off, Thursday night against the University of Alabama, Huntsville. exhibition game, what they call in the NFL a preseason game.
They get your mouth watering, is what they do.
Yeah, and it gives you a chance to see the team for the first time and see the new players who've come in. And it's going to start at 5:30. The early start being because our football team plays in Bowling Green that night up at Western Kentucky, and that's a huge game,
big game
for the Sun Belt Conference. So the fans who don't go to Bowling Green can come out, watch the Lady Raiders at 5:30, and then after that they can. And the ball game's going to be on TV, I understand. So, in fact, Coach Ensel is taking the team over to Toots after the game, and so the fans, if they want to go out and kind of visit with the players and watch the football game, can go there and do that. So it's going to be a big night for Blue Raider athletics.
The girls are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the country. There's no doubt about it. They can compete with used to be the big girls, but they're the big girls now. I mean, they're right there at the top, and everybody's shooting at them. And I had Rick Ensel on a few weeks ago, and we talked about the girls. And he's extremely excited because you've got a lot of the talent coming back that they had. Plus, they have a couple of additions that are really going to be major for them.
Well, yes, and he has a right to be excited. This is the best bunch of talent I think that he's had since he's been here. And, of course, just last week, three of his players were named preseason first team all-conference, Iceland Eli, Ebony Rowe, and Courtney Jones. And you know those three will be in the starting lineup. Now, who the other two are, that's in Coach Ensel's territory.
A lot of competition there, and it's at a high level.
It is. Point guard, last year, Shanice Kaysen started most games. Janae Brinkley is pushing for a starting assignment. Janae is a junior. Shanice is a sophomore. They're also... Lauren March, I think, has made as much improvement as anybody. She's a junior, redshirt junior, so she's pushing for a starting position. Lakin Leonard, who was a starter most of last year, is trying to stay in the starting lineup. And then you've got Janice Johnson, who got a lot of preseason publicity because of her size, coming in at 6'6", who is a junior college transfer. Mm-hmm. And you know she'd like to be starting, and she's been pushed by Kiki Stewart, who started a lot of games last year, and Stephanie Myers, who's 6'5", and a redshirt sophomore, and also Diamond Rayner, who's a senior this year at 6'3". So, you know, you got four really good choices for post player. Or he could play without a true post, as he did last year. And I expect we'll see a combination of a little bit of all of that on Thursday night. Another young lady, Mackenzie Sells, is a freshman, coming in from Livingston. Livingston Academy, she's a very good outside shooter, and I think will help in that department. Kaya Williams, who is a freshman from Mount Juliet, coming in. Tremendous inside player, great hands. And she just needs to get a little bit more comfortable with the college game, I think. And we've been over just about everybody on the roster. And, you know, I think all of those girls have a chance to have some playing time along with a little girl from Jackson County who is a walk-on, Caroline Warden. Played in the state tournament last year with Jackson County. She's about the size of Shanice Kaysen. She's a little girl, but a very good ball handler and a good outside shooter. Wouldn't surprise me to see her get some minutes in on Thursday night. So that's about it. And he's got one red shirt, Tiana Porter from Paris, Tennessee, who transferred down from the University of Pittsburgh, who's going to be an impact player next year, I think. So,
it's you know, Tennessee has long been a hotbed for girls basketball.
Exactly.
And in the past, you'd have UT would get a lot of them, and of course UT does a lot of national scouting, and yep. then Vanderbilt would get some. But it seems like since Rick has been here, he's got the name, he's got the personality, and he's got the reputation now that he can compete not only in the state of Tennessee but outside the state of Tennessee. And when you were talking about all that talent that he's got, it sounds like that he can go to his bench and really not lose anything.
And
this
that's
year.
And that's very much different from some of the early teams that he had when he only really trusted about six girls mm-hmm. to play. He'd have his starting five and one key sub, and that was about it, sometimes seven. But yeah, you're right, he's got so much more talent now, and I think this team, and I made this statement yesterday, Tim had me on for a few minutes on the afternoon show, that I think this team is more prepared to start the season than any I've been around, and I believe this is my sixth year to do women's basketball. This team, I think they were ready to start a week ago.
They're exciting to watch. I know if you haven't seen girls basketball in a while, you need to come out, but because the talent level is unbelievable. I mean, you have gunners out there like Courtney Jones. She can hit from anywhere. She's almost like our Jimmy Montgomery used to be. When I see that ball go in her hands, I look for her to put it up, and I look for that ball just sweetly settle within the net every time she throws it up.
Yeah, record-setting three-point shooter, not only at Middle Tennessee but in the Sun Belt Conference. And I think, you know, I think she's going to have a great year this year, her senior year. I think Iceland Eli, who mm-hmm. is just, to me, a lot stronger looking than she was last year. And it's her senior year. I think she's going to have a great year. Ebony Rowe, who's going to be a junior this year, player of the year, freshman of the year, you know, she's had all these accolades in her first 2 years, but she may better them this year. She's looking great. So you're talking about Tennessee players, 12 of the 15 on this roster are from the state of Tennessee.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when Rick was at Shebaville, he had championship team after championship team.
Oh, yeah.
If they didn't win the state championship, he was extremely unhappy at the time.
And, you know, he's coaching the same way. He preaches fundamentals. They do fundamentals every single day in practice. And he keeps a sharp eye on them. And if something's not done right, they know about it. But they, you know, there's something to be said about repetition mm-hmm. in fundamentals, not only in basketball but in other sports, football, right. Baseball. I know about, you know.
Well, we talked about structure earlier.
Yeah,
he's a structured individual.
Oh, very much so. Yeah,
and I love to watch him. Sometimes it's just as much fun watching him dealing with the ladies as it is watching the basketball game, because I love to sit there and watch him when he becomes animated and the color in his face starts changing. and he's right there in their face. But you watch them, and they respect him, and they care about him because they take in every word that he says.
Yes,
you don't see them rolling their eyes or anything like that.
If they do, they're reminded that they're not to do that.
Oh, I'll bet they are. But it's something special for them. Those ladies have a chance in their lives to come very, very successful, something that a lot of ladies never get the opportunity to do.
Exactly.
And I think he presses that point to them.
So we only lost one player off last year's squad. It was Molly McFadden. Mm-hmm. Saw Molly last night at Coach Stock's radio show, and she is she's now working real estate. She's making a great career for herself, and I think it's all due to this.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a chance to interact with the ladies much, being the announcer for them?
Well, yeah, on the road, particularly, you know, when you travel as a small group, you get to know people a little better. Get to talk to them a little better, more so than here.
Is it kind of like an extension of, you've been a coach most of your life in some type of sports, early baseball and on up, is it kind of like the relationship you're able to get with them, or is that kind of looking on the outside?
No, I'm kind of an outsider when it comes to coaching on this level. I just kind of like to be part of the group, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's in some respects it's a hobby to you, but in other respects it's a passion that you just don't want to give up.
Well, since I didn't do this full time after I moved back to Murfreesboro. I was doing it full time in Memphis, but since I moved back, it has been sort of an avocation or a hobby, but it's one that I would really hate to give up. And talk about the men's team a little bit. Coach Davis and them had a good scrimmage Saturday up at Murray. I understand did well.
They're doing well, yeah.
And he's got most of his guys back. He's got some talented newcomers. Watched them practice for a little while yesterday. I think you're going to like Nico Hunter. Mm-hmm. His new kid coming in from junior college. And of course, Marcus Knight, who was a key player last year. His younger brother has signed, Trantel Knight. Got the big kid, Torin Walker, 6'11", who is going to have to fill some big shoes. And Kerry Hammonds, a local youngster, is back. He's back practicing. He'd been out for a while, but he's back. And Jason Jones, who was an all-conference player 2 years ago, kind of played hurt all of last mm-hmm. year. He's back. JT Sultan, the point guard, Bruce Massey, who's had such a great game up at Tennessee last year. You know, all of those kids are back, and Coach Davis and them will open up on Monday night against Auburn Montgomery. It'll be their only preseason exhibition game, and that's a 7 o'clock game. And so you get to see the women on Thursday night, the men on Monday night. The women have another exhibition before they open the season in the preseason WNIT. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty prestigious tournament to be invited to. I think the invitations go out to teams that are expected to be good, you know, mm-hmm. expected to have good seasons. So we'll open up against Kennesaw State, and if we win that game, we'll play the winner of Memphis and Grambling. I think both of those games will be at the Murphy Center. Mm-hmm. If we win both of them, I think we've got an excellent chance to get a third game at home, which would be great for our fans.
Now, that's part of the season tickets, too, isn't it?
I think it is.
That's incorporated
within that.
You know, MTSU has really gone leaps and bounds, not only in academics, but also in the sporting arena. And you can see it growing all the time, across the board. And, of course, they do need the participation from the community here, too. And
exactly.
And you can't find a better venue for sports than what we got right here.
And the Murphy Center is, 40 years old now, mm-hmm. and still looking good. They've kept it up in good shape. Got several doubleheaders scheduled for this year. Mm-hmm. I think the fans kind of like the doubleheaders where they can go out one night and see both teams play. In another area, our women's soccer team is starting play in the Sun Belt Tournament tomorrow night in Mobile. They finished as the number 2 seed, and we're hoping they'll bring a trophy back home from that. I think that goes Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, mm-hmm. and I think they open up on Wednesday night, tomorrow night against South Alabama, which is the host team. So we're looking for Coach Roden and his girls to do well. Our football team is tied for second right now in the Sun Belt Conference. Big game Thursday night at Western Kentucky.
Major game.
They beat us in double overtime early in the season last year, and I think that loss kind of contributed to what happened during the rest of the season. That was mm-hmm. early in the season. It was a heartbreaking loss. You know, we had chance after chance to win that game, and that good running back of theirs, Bobby Rainey, just spoiled it there at the end. But
the conference has gotten tougher.
Conference is better.
It really has.
Somebody asked Coach Stockstill last night, I guess it was Chip, on his radio show, do you like playing teams out of Conference USA? He said, I wish I could play them all. We have had very good luck against teams from Conference USA.
The Sun Belt is competitive with anybody right now. It really is. You know, when you talk about sports, you talk about the individual kids and what they learn and their character. And you were relating something to me before we went on the air about the Goodlettsville Little League baseball team.
Goodlettsville team, I understand, is right now in a fundraising capacity, raising money to help fund the facilities for the Little Leaguers from Uganda. Mm-hmm. The team from Africa that was in the Little League World Series for the first time. And some of those kids didn't even have shoes to wear. But they are raising, their goal is $200,000, and they're going to go to Uganda over the holidays, give up some of their holidays.
Amazing.
To go over there and take what money they've raised and work with those kids in some camps. Mm-hmm. to help them get better. As it seems, these two teams kind of struck up a mutual admiration society when they were at Williamsport.
They really took
to
each other. You
hung
could
out,
tell.
They hung out together a lot, and so I think that's a wonderful thing.
They kept, in fact, Uganda was the big story at the Little League.
Correct.
Last time.
Correct.
And they kept relating to it, and every time that you would see the kids out away from the field doing some of the things that kids like to do, It was the Goodlettsville kids and the Uganda kids. And I thought that was kind of neat, the way that they built up friendships. And they would talk to the guys from Goodlettsville, and they would talk about their relationship with some of the kids over there. I mean, they come from entirely different environments, but yet there they were, young kids enjoying each other's company.
And, you know, I think sports can do probably as much or more for international relations, good relations between nations, than anything else. I think that's been proven. It's been proven.
I think you've seen that through the Olympics, where they make lifelong friends from people they had never seen before.
Well, sure.
From different countries, and it's just something special. It's an individual thing, I guess, more than anything else.
But you hear all the time about not particularly professional athletes, but people going overseas to help a youth organization organize. Mm-hmm. or whatever, and you know, there's no way you can beat that kind of diplomacy.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, professional diplomats would do well to take a look at that.
And then after this winter, you're going to start into baseball.
Well, we start in February. Actually, we've got a little crossover there between basketball and baseball, so we'll have to make some adjustments in February, because I'll be doing a little bit of both when I can, and when I can't, we'll get somebody else to do it. I'll stick with basketball till it's over, and fill in with baseball when I have the opportunity, and then as soon as basketball's over, we'll be going full swing with baseball. Coach McGuire and his staff are going to have a good season, I think.
Very impressive, Jim
McGuire.
Had
a chance to watch their fall workouts a lot. In fact, John Callow and I broadcast their three-game fall World Series, they call it, when they close out their fall camp, and we did all three games there, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to for a baseball team next year.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dickie Palmer.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare is Rutherford County's number one choice in pest control, and it's simple to see why. After calling 893-7111, their staff came to my house 8 years ago when I had an insect problem. They looked at the situation, showed me the areas, and what they'd recommend to resolve the problem. After treatment and with quarterly checks, I'm bug, critter, and creepy crawly free. Thanks, AmeriCare.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pet.
AmeriCare, 893-7111.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have devastating floods or storms affected you and your family? HRA Home Improvement is just a phone call away. HRA Home Improvement can handle just about any of your building needs. HRA Home Improvement is a local company with a mission to do the job right the first time, every time. Call your local general contractor, HRA Home Improvement Company, at 615-410-7924. Again, that number is 615-410-7924.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, when you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you. I'm Bob New, and I approve this ad. Paid for by Bob New Campaign, Linda New Treasurer.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
We're talking with this area's only certified physician in heart CT, Dr. Rishi Saxena. Before you have a stress test or heart catheterization, consider the 64-slice CT scan.
We could find the same information without taking too much risk.
It only takes minutes, there are no needles, and it could show things other tests miss.
You could act on it and prevent heart attack and death from happening.
No referral is necessary for the 64-slice CT scan. Call 896-4800 and make an appointment with Dr. Rishi Saxena.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back to the Dickie Palmer Show. I want to let you know this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes is a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From a simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on the Ridgely Road. And the last part of this month, and all this month, when you mention it, you heard it on WGNS, get free front wiper blades with a standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive. That's free front wiper blades with standard $29.95 oil change at Murfreesboro Automotive.
That's a deal.
It is a deal. It's a great deal.
Yeah.
You know, one thing we're talking about off the air is something I really get interested in, is we kind of take when an announcer is saying that the referees have made a couple of errors in calls, where it'd be basketball or whatever, that feeds into the fans that are listening, because they take that as that's gospel. When Dickie Palmer says mm-hmm. they made a mistake, they made a mistake.
Well, you know,
do you have to watch that much as an announcer?
I try not to officiate too much on the air, but every once in a while, there is such an obvious mess up or screw up, but. Mm-hmm. That I feel obligated to say something about it, and I think announcers who constantly stay on the officials' back get a little bit boring, you know, because
are they subject to any type of retribution like the players and the coaches? you know, you guys are such an important part of the sports, and when you say, "Man, he missed that call."
If they hear you, you might get a little feedback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're standing right in front of you and they hear you, you might get a an evil look, or you might even get a reprimand. I've seen that happen before. But
you are not what I consider a homer. You're not one of these people that is so prejudicial toward the opposing team that everything that happens is wrong. I mean, you're one of these people, you try to keep it all in perspective, and I think most people agree with that.
I'll take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment.
But you know, I want our Middle Tennessee teams to win, and I don't think anybody who listens to a broadcast of mine will question that.
Oh, people hear the dejection in your voice when that happens, and that's what they want to hear.
That's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah. You know, it's hard to do a game when you're 30 points behind and 5 minutes to play. You're thinking, let's get this over with.
Well, you know, I have never been a Vandy fan, as you know, and when Larry Munson was there, they were in a bowl game, in a football game, and they hadn't been there in a long time, and they had a tape of it. And the best part of that whole game is listening to him when the score happens in front of him, and it just broke his heart. I mean, it was just like the whole world.
Well, it's
died.
Just like, I've heard some of his Georgia broadcasts that he just lived and died with every snap of the ball.
And the one I hate the most is when he takes the boot and stomps it on on Tennessee's head and all that. That's not very good for a Tennessee fan to hear.
I suppose not.
No, it was not. But here you are. You've been in this business a long time, and of course you and I are both getting older and things like that. When you decide to hang up your mic, that's going to be a hard thing for you to do.
Yeah, it will.
I can't even imagine. Basketball and baseball, and of course football up to a degree. I can't imagine that being on the air without Dickie Palmer. It's just like losing John Ward.
I like to start what I finish, or finish what I start. What did I say? Finish what I start. Mm-hmm. And I think Larry retired in the middle of a Georgia football season. Jack Crystal retired at Mississippi State in the middle of a football season a couple of years ago. He had been there, 60 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful guy. I mean, just the voice of Mississippi State. But, you know, like most people, I think I'll probably know when it's time. And
I hope it's a long way from here. Well, I really do.
I'm just looking forward to another good basketball season.
Oh, me too. This is going to be a great year. It really is. This is the one I'm looking forward to more than any we've had before. I think
both teams picked to win the conference, so mm-hmm. you know we've got the eye of the other coaches in the mm-hmm. conference, and all of these all conference players. We've got preseason all conference. Of course, that doesn't mean anything to mm-hmm. you till you play the games. All this preseason stuff is just for the fans. It's for the fans. Yeah. But certainly you'd rather be picked first than last. And you'd rather have a target on your back than a bow and arrow trying to hit that target.
Now, what time do people need to get there Thursday?
Thursday, 5:30 game. I like to get there, and of course I'll have to get there early anyway. Mm-hmm. But if I were a fan, I'd like to get there close to 5 o'clock and watch both teams warm up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's part of it. When I go to a football game, I like to get there early and watch them warm up out on the field.
Yeah, and actually, you get a lot of you get to meet a lot of people that you don't see as a rule.
True.
It's a social event too.
True, it really is. I understand that season ticket sales are up for both teams, both men and women, considerably over last year. So there's nothing like a full, loud crowd in the Murphy Center to help, you know, stir your spirit and keep your team going. And they have a brand new sound system. I think somebody told me $400,000 new sound system mm-hmm. that's in place. They've got four new auxiliary scoreboards around the passageways. Wow. There and. It's just going to be it's just going to be a great scene.
And is there a clock man going to be there?
I'm sure they will have people on the table.
I hope Butch is there. Bless his heart. He had a little surgery a week or so ago, and hopefully he's going to be ready to go because it's not going to be the same with that Butch Campbell.
That's right. We like to see the same familiar faces who are veterans at doing what they do and do it well. The only thing that they haven't done yet is put up the press tables and bring down the bleachers on on the far side, which would be the east side of of the Murphy Center. So everything else is ready.
Well, we'll see you guys over there Thursday around 5 and enjoy your fellowship.
All right, very good.
And tomorrow we'll be back in here at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we have Don Odom in the morning, our superintendent of county schools.